Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a busy Thursday. Yes, it is live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1, Alex Curry is, as always, more than capably filling in today for Joy Taylor, who's on Speak for Yourself. Alex, also a resident of Manhattan Beach. Much longer than me. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Happy to be back with you today.
It's great to have you back. We love having you on the show. Baseball season, Alex, for years and years, has done so much great baseball work. Baseball season's around the corner. I'm reading that stuff on Twitter today.
It's here. I mean, spring training is underway. It's different, but it's happening.
Yep.
That's all that matters.
Heard yesterday Dodgers going to have 10 to 14,000 people at games, according to
Wow. Our
governor, pretty quick.
Yeah.
So that's exciting for all you baseball fans out there, and I agree. There needs to be fans at games. So I am going to play a character today. I'm going to be Dak Prescott's agent. And I'm going to sit down with Dak Prescott. And we're going to have a discussion. So here you go. All right, Dak, I know you want long-term security, but just hear me out. When I was a little kid, my mom and dad used to yell and scream. They fought a lot. And the design of our house, I heard almost all of it. Even one time, my mom threw a ring at my dad, and it bounced down the stairs. So when they got a divorce, initially I was scared. But then I realized my stepdad and my mom never yelled. He became my little league coach. And the house was quiet again, and it wasn't as scary. Divorces are often seen as a bad thing, but sometimes it's a more comfortable landing. Dak, I want you to think about this. What's the recipe for Super Bowls? An A coach and a top general manager. It's what Brady had this last year in Tampa. What Brady had for years in New England. It's what Peyton Manning had. Ben Roethlisberger in his prime. Dak, if you sign a long-term deal, your coach is Mike McCarthy and your general manager is your 77-year-old owner. But Dak, I want to take it a step further. I know you view the franchise tag as a bad thing. And I know you think to yourself, what if I go to market? It'll probably be to these awful teams, because that's the way it is every year, right, Dak? The teams that need quarterbacks, it's always like Jacksonville and Detroit, Cincinnati. But Dak, in 1 year from today, something strange is happening. These three teams have not resolved their quarterback issue and likely won't by next year. The Saints, the Patriots, and the 49ers, Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, and Kyle Shanahan. Unless Garoppolo gets traded in the next few weeks, they'll be looking for a quarterback in a year. Cam's probably coming back to New England. There's a story today. The Patriots don't like the free agent options, and they're too deep in the draft to get one of the top three quarterbacks. And the Saints, we all know they've got no cap space. And Dak, not only those three, but there's another 4 to 5 teams with great rosters that they may need a quarterback in 2022. Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Denver, Miami, Chicago. Miami doesn't have a great roster. It's good. With one more draft, it'll be great. And let me throw this at you, Dak. You made 31.4 last year with a franchise. You'd make 37.1 this year with it. That would be $69 million. Then you'd hit the market. And Dak, never forget, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL the last 6 years, guaranteed cash money. It's not Brady, it's not Rodgers, not Russell Wilson. It's Kirk Cousins, $192 million. That's a lot of lettuce. He played tag and won. In fact, he played it twice. So, Dak, think about that. What's a Super Bowl recipe? and what and who needs a quarterback in 1 year. For the first time as an agent in my life, it's not the bad teams. The bad teams over the last 2 years have all gotten quarterbacks in an emerging quarterback college market. Also remember, Dak, as your agent, this year's a great crop of quarterbacks out of college. Next year is predicted to be the weakest in a decade. More leverage for you. And Kirk Cousins talked to Dak not that long ago about being franchise tagged.
Well, the only piece I've said to him in crossing his path, going back maybe a couple off seasons, was just to make the point that the franchise tag can be your friend. You know, it can be a help to you if that's the route you choose to go. You know, he played on the franchise tag this past year. I think he's in a great spot now. Everybody knows he can play, that he's an elite quarterback. And, you know, really the ball is more in the court of the Cowboys and what they want to do going forward. But I think it's a no-brainer that Dak's the real deal and is going to have a great career moving forward. And, you know, he's in a really good spot.
As your agent, Dak, strongly consider a one-year deal and going to market next year. All right, this is interesting. It continues to be a drama that won't go away, but it's a new drama, unlike Dak's contract. It's Russell Wilson. Mike Silver, who comes on this show, very good NFL reporter, says the Seahawks are willing to listen to trade offers for Russell Wilson. It would be a massive cap hit. I don't think it would happen. But the Seahawks, according to Silver, are upset that Russell Wilson has taken it public. Yes, I can understand why. After 9 years of always saying, go Hawks, Russell Wilson finally has an opinion and Seattle doesn't like it. It's funny, for years the Packers put up with Favre, and for years the Steelers have put up with the drama induced by Ben Roethlisberger. For a month, Russell Wilson's been a pain in the butt. I think it's time for Pete Carroll to get thicker skin. Be that as it may, I thought about this morning. By the way, I love millennials. Love young peeps. Love them. And I've been in the business 30 years. But I do see, and I think there's more talent than ever in my business, but I do see something occasionally from millennials. So if I can, let me offer this. Sometimes, nobody's going to apologize to you. You've got to deal with crap. Sometimes there's no resolution for problems. I know your mom told you people are nice, but sometimes they're not. And sometimes you got to work with them. And you can rush to Twitter and Instagram and demand an apology, but mostly it's false. If they really cared, they would have apologized earlier, and it's a false apology. They're playing you. Deal with it. There is not always resolution for all your little problems. If I own the Seahawks, I'd say, just play. Who cares if you don't like each other? Kobe and Phil had moments they hated each other. Belichick and Brady had tension for 10 years. Didn't they? You know, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Bill Parcells and Phil Sims, that was never comfortable. Who says you have to be best friends? Bruce Arians and Brady squabbled until Thanksgiving last year. There's this sense in America that everything has to be resolved. And you're owed an apology. And you cannot have tension in a relationship. My wife and I have tension all the time. Then we get over it. She goes, hangs out with her friends. I go hang out with mine. We avoid each other for a day. It's life. Who says there's any guarantee when you get married you don't have a bad weekend or a bad month? Are you going to break up every time you fight? This idea that Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll have to live in harmony, that is so 2021. It's not the way the world works. It's never been the way the world works. Michael Jordan didn't get along for his entire career in Chicago with his general manager. He often fought with Pippen. Rodman drove him crazy. So? Kobe and Shaq didn't always get along. They have to be best friends. Brady acknowledged. I thought this was kind of amazing. Do you know Brady and Belichick in 20 years never went to dinner once? Isn't that crazy? Crazy. So what? They won like 7 Super Bowls, 6 Super Bowls. Who cares? Russell and Pete. We're going to have tension for a year. If I own the Seahawks, I'd say, listen, I love you both. Just let it play out. Sometimes, by the way, problems sort of disappear. You go on a 6-game winning streak, suddenly you like each other again. You get a raise. She gets a raise at work. She comes home and buys you a gift. Suddenly you like each other again. You have a great night out, cocktails, music, go to a lounge. Well, you're over it. Tension's okay. You're not always going to get an apology. Life's not always simple. There's tension all the time in your life and my life. Sometimes, work your way through it. I'm not trading Russell Wilson. I also don't want to fire Pete Carroll. You kids go work it out on the side. Get ready for the season. All right, coming up next, the New York Jets said yesterday that they are going, basically, said they're going to take calls for Sam Darnold. They're going to trade Sam Darnold. And there's a lot of, this is a very good quarterback class. There's a lot of really talented quarterbacks. I like Trevor Lawrence. I like Justin Fields. I like Trey Lance. Zach Wilson, I think, is an NFL quarterback. I think he's a tad overstated, but whatever. But here is the frightening part, and history tells you if the Jets move off Darnold, they're in for more misery. I'll explain that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Enjoy endless hot water for spa-like comfort with Navien tankless water heaters. Save hundreds now. Energy-efficient Navien tankless water heaters with local rebates. TanklessMadeSimple.com. TanklessMadeSimple.com. Navien. Peter Schrager this hour. By the way, top of next hour, Kevin Durant and LeBron are drafting their all-star teams tonight. And so top of next hour, I will be drafting with Chris Broussard my all-star teams. All right, so... the Jets general manager, Joe Douglas, said yesterday, I'm taking calls on Sam Darnold. So they put the house up for sale, and we know which house. Not the pick, but Sam. That's good news for Sam because three or four teams that need a quarterback are New England, San Francisco's interested, Washington and Chicago were playoff teams. So sometimes you get lucky. The bad teams are going to draft a quarterback, and some good teams, playoff teams, or close to it, are probably in the Darnold sweepstakes. So that's good for Sam Darnold. This is going to be a win for Sam Darnold. I mean, there are years when it's only bad teams that need quarterbacks. The bad teams, you know, Jets are now going to take a quarterback. Jags are going to take a quarterback. Carolina's probably going to move up and take a quarterback. Philadelphia, which now classifies as a bad team, they may take a quarterback. But the Niners, Washington, Chicago, those are good rosters. New England's going to be very good next year, at least defensively. If they could add, like, a free agent wide receiver, you got a team. So, here's the scary part if you're the Jets drafting Zach Wilson. Regardless of what you think of him, I'm not a scout. I think he's a little overstated, a little skinny for me, couldn't beat good teams in college. Regardless, if you go back the last 10 to 15 years, there's a pattern. The first two quarterbacks taken, one of them doesn't work. Almost always. Last year, Burrow and Tua. Burrow is going to be really good. Miami's already got issues with Tua. Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones. Kyler's a star. Daniel Jones on the fence. They could bail on him by Thanksgiving this year. Baker and Darnold. Baker's won a playoff game. Darnold is a reclamation project. Trubisky Mahomes, enough said. Goff and Wentz, neither's a bust, but you're paying both a lot, and neither one probably right now is worth the lettuce. Jameis Winston, Mariota, neither a star. Jameis really did. In the end, felt like a bust. Bortles, Manziel. Bortles got to a playoff. Johnny was out of the league in a couple. EJ Manuel, only quarterback drafted in 2013, bust. Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin, star bust. Cam Jake Locker, star bust. Bradford Tebow, successful bust. Stafford Sanchez, pretty good, not very good. This is the reality of the NFL. And in every instance that I can recall, this is what happens. Because I believe Trevor Lawrence is a prodigy. I believe Zach Wilson is a project. I believe you get child prodigies, Bryce Harper. You get him in music. You get him in entertainment. You get, and when I say child, I'm talking 15 to 19 years old. You're just different than everybody. Trevor Lawrence, as a freshman, Nick Saban had 6 weeks to prepare and could not stop him. As a freshman. Zach Wilson didn't play well until this past year. He wasn't very good as a freshman and sophomore. One is a quarterback prospect. One's a prodigy. LeBron was a prodigy. Bryce Harper's a prodigy. You see him in music, entertainment all the time. Not all the time, but you see him. And what you see, and this happens a lot, and I'm starting to hear it. A month or two before the draft, people start saying stuff like this. RG3 is actually better than Andrew Luck. Zach Wilson is actually better than Trevor Lawrence. Of course, this is not true. But what you do, all of a sudden people, because they've nitpicked the prodigy or the star, and with Zach Wilson, it's more about, well, he's better than we thought. People start claiming the two is better than the one. I saw that with Andrew Luck and RG3. I am seeing that now with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. So history tells you Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are going to go 1-2. One of them ain't going to work. And by the way, you tell me the last time a Jets quarterback truly worked. Joe Namath. Alex Curry with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Browns have no doubt that Baker Mayfield will be their quarterback next season. They have until May 3rd to pick up his fifth-year option. And while GM Andrew Berry wouldn't reveal the team's plan, he did express that they do have faith in Baker as their starter.
The quarterback position is, in my mind, the most important position in professional sports. We've been pretty consistent with our messaging around Baker that we think he had a really strong season for us. We like the maturation and the growth both on and off the field. And we're looking forward to him continuing to take steps his second year in the offense.
All right, there you go. That's right. Okay, good. I don't have any negative thoughts on Baker this morning. I don't like to be marginalized as a hater. So let's just take those steps, Baker, and get better. And I've got no opinion.
I'm a big Baker fan here. He figured out a way to win. He's had four different coaches in 3 years.
True.
And then obviously this past season, he got the Browns to the postseason for the first time in 18 years and their first playoff win in 26 years.
Yep.
And you have to remember, leading into that playoff game, they were a COVID mess.
Yeah.
They weren't able to practice that week. They didn't have their head coach. And he somehow, everything was against them. And they were playing back-to-back Steelers Big Ben this time. And he figured out a way to win, and he got it done.
I predicted they were going to make the playoffs. I am not anti-Baker. I'm trying to end that. I don't think they'll make the playoffs this year, and I think Baker will be fine. I just think the AFC is getting much, much better.
I'll tip you on that one. But yes, Baker fan over here. Let's move on to the Raiders, because the Raiders have been mentioned in quarterback trade rumors this offseason, but GM Mike Mayock is standing by Derek Carr and singing the praises of his quarterback. Take a listen.
I think Derek Carr has earned a lot of respect around this league from an awful lot of people. I think Derek Carr had his best year yet under John Gruden. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and we couldn't be happier with him. John and I would both stand shoulder to shoulder and pound the table for Derek Carr.
I know people are cynical, but I do believe, if you look at the last 2 years, I do believe John Gruden's come to terms with Derek Carr. Now, I don't think he loves that Mahomes and Justin Herbert are probably more naturally gifted, bigger, stronger guys with better arms. But again, you know, we never thought Brady had the best arm or Montana the best arm. If you're a Raider fan today and Derek Carr in your world is the issue, then I think you don't really understand the Raiders' problems. It's Derek Carr is not. He is the life preserver the last 2 years. He's not sinking the boat. He's saving it.
And with all the quarterback roulette that's going on right now, I think this is important for Derek Carr to hear this and have the support and know that the team is backing him and behind him. Because again, when you have the support and that you know that you have that, and mentally you're going into a season feeling comfortable, it completely changes your game.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. All right. James Harden returned to Houston last night for the first time since being traded to the Nets. He led the way with another triple-double, scoring 29 points with 10 rebounds and 14 assists in the 132-114 win over his former team. Harden drew a mixed reaction of both cheers and boos during his pregame introduction, and after a tribute video played, and after the game, he said, "I just want to give them a show." Now, we knew this was going to be kind of a mixed reaction,
right,
with Harden coming home. He had a messy way of leaving the team, but he still gives so much to that community, and he returned to Houston just weeks after the winter storm devastation. So it was a very, I think, interesting time to go back, because he was still giving back to the community. He was building homes. He was helping with plumbing. He was supplying food. And he even said a big part of him and his heart is still in Houston. But when you leave the way that he left, I think that scars a lot of fans. And so it was interesting to see that kind of reaction.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not a fan, by design. We're not necessarily fans. I said this yesterday to Joy. If you give me 8 to 10 years of great,
yeah,
I'm okay with it. I grew up a Seattle Mariner fan, and everybody left. A-Rod left, and Griffey left, and Randy Johnson left. But when I was a diehard fan, I was like, they were great when they were here. And so not every relationship lasts forever. Sometimes you date. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's 5 years, 6 years. So, I mean, I think if I look at it, Houston, listen, Houston's bad now. And I don't love the way he forced the team to do what they did. But in the end, the Houston Rockets were one of the three or four most interesting NBA teams. They were on television. It was fun for 7 to 8 years. It didn't last forever. Even the Lakers and the Warrior dynasties, you get about 3 years out of them and they break up.
Yep.
So the NBA has always been in the NFL, your dynasties feel like they last a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
But in the NBA, they've always been fairly short because you generally need three stars, and at some point, one will get sick of the others. So I think you just have to understand in the NBA, when you're winning, love it, embrace it, but it's not, even if it's great, Shaq and Kobe, it's not going to last that long.
No. Well, what I did think was important, though, was after the game, the love that he got from his former teammates and the coaches and the hugs that we saw on the court, because that's what matters.
And nobody ever thought Harden was a bad guy. He was never a villain. I don't like the way he left, but I never viewed Harden as a villain or a bad guy. I viewed him as a guy with a style that needs a whistle, and you don't get it in the postseason.
Mm-mm.
So I don't think his game translates as well regular season to playoffs. But I never thought he was a bad guy. He was kind of a quirky personality.
Yeah.
Alex with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So it's an interesting time. The Jets have officially said, we will take calls for Sam Darnold. So they put the for sale sign up, make your best offer. And that stuff doesn't come out unless they want teams to make offers. And that's okay. I think it's a very unique year in that the teams that need a quarterback, Chicago and Washington, let's just stand on those two. Those are championship defenses. Matt Nagy, I think, is a very clever offensive coach. Ron Rivera is obviously an excellent defensive coach. So those teams were playoff teams. They have championship defenses, and they've got some momentum. So this could be a win-win, right? The Jets get a new quarterback they want, and Sam Darnold actually gets a reboot, potentially with two teams. He doesn't have to win shootouts. The Bears and Washington, you don't have to be in shootouts every week. You can win 20-17, 24-20, and that may be better for Darnold's style. And Peter Schrager now, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So let's, listen, Joe Douglas, who had a very good first draft. He had a very good first draft. So if you go look at what he did and what it landed, I trust him. He likes Zach Wilson, apparently. He put it out there. I appreciate him putting it out there. So let's just talk Jets before we talk Sam Darnold. Here would be my devil's advocate. You're going to bring in a Mountain West quarterback in a division with Belichick, Brian Flores, and Sean McDermott, who may be three of the top four defensive coaches in the NFL, and you're going to throw a rookie at him. That is a tough ask of the kid, but it does appear, Schrags, that's where Joe Douglas is headed, right?
Well, the counter to that would be, where did Josh Allen go to school? And he was going up against some of those great defenses also, and he was out of Wyoming, and it's been lights out in Buffalo. It made sense. Zach Wilson, the hype is out of control right now, Colin, and it's not just by mock drafts, and it's not just us trying to create a narrative here in the NFL to make the draft interesting, which I've been accused of, saying, hey, you're just trying to make something out of nothing because it's a Lawrence draft and that's it. People around the league really like this kid. Now, look, there's not the same body of work as the Clemson quarterback, but the accuracy is off the charts. He's 6'3", and he has swagger. Whether you like the swagger or not, he is the alpha. He's the Pied Piper, and he would be a hit in New York. Now, nothing against Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold isn't that guy. Sam Darnold is a gentleman. He's all class, and he is tough as nails, and his teammates have and do love Sam Darnold. This is a different personality if you're looking to really sell something as far as the Joe Namath prototype. Wilson might have a little more of that than Darnold. I'll say this as far as what they're doing. It couldn't be going better for the Jets right now because, to your point, the Wilson thing, the stock is through the roof. So now suddenly you might have a bunch of teams trading up. But for Darnold, the list goes even further. I mean, I look at the Patriots. Could they be interested in Sam Darnold? I look at the Carolina Panthers. Could they be interested in Sam Darnold? And then, of course, you've got teams like the Washington and Chicago and San Francisco. I mean, this list could be 7, 8, 9, 10 long. So as long as the Zach Wilson buzz is building and building and building, Jets have that in their back pocket. They could always take him, or they could trade back and collect picks, or you can trade Darnold, get a whole boatload of things in either the end of the first round or early second round, and then be able to reset the clock. Because, Colin, if you're a Jets fan, yeah, we like Darnold and everything. Next year, you're in the same predicament that all these teams are in the Mahomes-Watson era, where are we paying him the big contract extension? Because quite honestly, if the Jets go 8-8 and Sam Darnold has a good season, you still have to wonder, are we paying him $30 million next year? If you draft Wilson, you get 4 years at a rookie contract rate. You can reset the clock, and he might have a bigger upside than Darnold, even though Darnold's only 23 years old.
I was surprised this week. I have predicted I think Darnold ends up at Washington. It's just a gut feeling. Not sure if I'm right, but I think his sort of he's a tough kid. Rivera likes his quarterbacks to be tough guys, and that feels right to me. Chicago's interesting. So their GM comes out and says everything's on the table, and then there's a story about Nick Foles, and I think timeout. That is such a downer to make fans sit with that for 7 months when you're in a division with Aaron Rodgers. To explain the Chicago situation to me, because it was very vague, and I just think they're not that. I think behind the scenes, Chicago's doing something, aren't they?
Let's go back in time a little bit. So Trubisky is not brought back. He's a free agent, right? So let's move him up. Foles is under contract, but they brought back Ryan Pace, the general manager, and a lot of people thought he was on the hot seat. They brought him back, and it almost felt like the McCaskey family was like, all right, Ryan, you got one more year, figure it out. It wasn't said explicitly like that, but that is the feeling around this team. Now, put yourself in Ryan Pace's shoes. You already did once trade up to get Trubisky and draft him before Watson and Mahomes. You already give Nick Foles this big contract. I feel like this is kind of the year that they have to swing big. And something like going back to Foles is not enough. And so as much as we want to look at what makes sense and what is logical, you have to think about this league from a business standpoint too. And if Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are trying to hit a home run, they might sell the farm and then some to get a Watson or a Wilson. And I don't think that's crazy. As much as Watson keeps pushing this thing down and saying, I'm not going to Houston, you might have to give up Roquan Smith. Oh, okay, fine. You might have to also give up Khalil Mack. You might also have to give up every good player on your roster in the next three drafts. If that's what it takes to get a quarterback, they might be in a corner right now, Chicago, where anything short of a big splash is a letdown. I mean, Bears fans have been told, we got something up our sleeve. We're going to be aggressive. Like, we've been hearing about it for months. Cam Newton isn't enough, you know, and Alex Smith is not going to really get you out of bed in the morning and say, okay, we did it. I think they've got to go big, and anything short of Watson, Wilson, or a trade for another big starting quarterback, I don't know if it's going to be as viewed as a failure, whether or not it works or not, just because of the expectation that the Bears have to go hard or go home in this one.
Well, you know, it's funny about this, Shrake. We know Jacksonville is going to draft a quarterback, and I think we know Carolina would like to. Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts is no guarantee. This is where the Patriots could get a break, because they draft 15th, and the sense is they're not going to get one of the top four guys. But I was thinking about this morning. Atlanta could be the key to this. If I run Atlanta, Matt Ryan's only 35. Let's not, he's never been hurt. Arthur Smith comes in. He gets a really smart offensive coach. It's very realistic to think Matt's going to have a couple good years here.
Sure.
He's owed a fortune. You can't move off him. If Atlanta decides, listen, we're going to stay. We're not replacing Matt Ryan. Okay, then all of a sudden, Trevor Lawrence may be gone, Zach Wilson gone, but you may be just battling, perhaps, just battling, if Houston gets Deshaun to stay, Carolina for the third quarterback. And so I was just thinking about this morning. I wouldn't move off Matt Ryan if I was Atlanta. There's a story that New England's into all these college guys. Your gut this morning, Cam, Mariota, or a college guy with New England?
Or option D. Belichick's not getting any younger. This team is a veteran team. You're talking about bringing back Dante Hightower and the Ricordi brothers. Is there another option? Like Cam Newton, in a bridged offseason, was serviceable, looked injured, wants to get another shot at this. They actually really liked him in New England. I just don't see them necessarily having him as option one. Do you go trade back for Garoppolo? Do you call the Jets, who are a hated rival, and say, what's it going to cost for Darnold? I to go to a rookie at this stage in Belichick's career with this roster, which is not full of young budding talent, it seems like a long-term move when this team still probably feels like their window could be now. I'd be really surprised if the Patriots didn't make some sort of move and get a quarterback. And is it Mariota? Maybe. Does that do much for you? I don't know. But I got to think that the Patriots have something up their sleeves. They did last year, and that ended up being Cam Newton, but for a really discounted price, and that's what they got. I feel like now they've had a full experience with another quarterback other than Brady. Are they going to be the ones who swing big? Are they going to be the ones who make a big move? I just would be shocked if we end up on week one and it's like Mac Jones, Alabama quarterback, Trey Lance, week one for the Patriots, and then Belichick starting from scratch again. It just doesn't seem in line with what their roster is or with what the Patriots have been building towards the last few years.
That's good stuff, Shrey. I think it's Cam, and you may have just talked me out of it. Peter Schrager, best-selling New York Times book, by the way, Out of the Blue on the Giants. Good seeing you, buddy.
You sound great. You look great. I'm so happy to have you 100%, Colin.
Thanks, Regs. Appreciate it, buddy. It is really rare. You have some really good franchises, the Saints and New England. You just don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. And San Francisco doesn't like theirs. Very rare. Usually the good teams have the quarterback thing figured out. It's the bad teams that don't. This year, it looks like the bad teams kind of going to get stuff solved, and it's going to be the good teams that are going to have to make a big move. Speaking of that, Mike Lombardi, very respected former NFL general manager, good friend of Belichick, had a thought yesterday on the 49ers and Garoppolo. It's fascinating. I want to talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Great to have you in today. Alex Curry joining. Joy Taylor's on Speak for Yourself after our show. And at the top of next hour, Chris Broussard and I will draft our all-star teams. I'm LeBron. He's KD. Yeah. Of course, Broussard and KD are hurt. So anyway, we'll do that top of next hour. So we know this to be true. It's self-evident in the NFL. There are coaches, Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan, Sean Payton, have a history of taking quarterbacks and making them better. Bill Belichick has a history, his entire career, of creating pass rushes in New England without star pass rushers. He gave up on Chandler Jones. They still had a great pass rush. So Belichick's never felt the need to pay big money for a pass rusher because he believes schematically he can create the pass rush without paying for big money. I'll spend it elsewhere. Kyle Shanahan, similarly, never pays for running backs. Because he, in his career, he's taken C guys and made them B guys and B running backs and made them A running backs. He doesn't need it. His zone offense, his run game, he doesn't need to spend the money there. And we have a history in the NFL. We know certain coaches elevate certain positions. So Mike Lombardi is a former general manager in the NFL. He's a friend of Belichick. And he's very connected. Known Mike for a long time. He said, the 49ers in a column today are interested in Sam Darnold. They're interested in two quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson and Sam Darnold. Darnold, according to Lombardi, can move. Shanahan likes his quarterbacks that can move. He's athletic and tough. Shanahan likes that. And he's got the arm strength to cover the field. But they like Deshaun Watson more. And the concern is we get Darnold and then Deshaun Watson becomes available. And I would ask this. If Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have injuries at all, they wouldn't be moving off him. He showed he's good enough to get to the Super Bowl. He's a B quarterback talent that for a year when he was healthy played like an A-minus quarterback under Shanahan. Well, Darnold, if you ask any scout, is more athletic than Jimmy Garoppolo. He's got better raw tools. He's a little bigger, huskier, more athletic, better arm than Garoppolo. So if Garoppolo can get to a Super Bowl, why can't Darnold? Why would Shanahan, who has a history of elevating quarterbacks and running backs, need an A quarterback that's going to cost you three or four first-round picks and maybe a starter to get? So this is why Belichick has moved off so many pass rushers. He's moved off really good defensive linemen. He'll spend his money elsewhere. He'll spend it on the O-line historically. He'll spend it on the secondary. But Belichick, pass rushers, I can generate that stuff. Shanahan's history is he made Matt Ryan the MVP of the league. Half of you want Matt Ryan out of the league. Half of you think Atlanta at 35 off a good year should move off Matt Ryan. He made him MVP. So to me, I look at it and I think if Garoppolo could get to a Super Bowl, Darnold's got better raw tools than Garoppolo. Just go with Darnold and don't give up four first-round picks. Here's another thing. Darren Waller is a great tight end for the Las Vegas, formerly Oakland, formerly L.A. Raiders. And he was saying, no excuses. We've got to make the playoffs. And, you know, I find this to be true about politics. People's opinions about a politician are overwhelmingly based on how they think about the Democrats or conservatives before you introduce the politician. A Republican will be cynical of a Democrat regardless of the Democrat's qualifications. And a Democrat will be cynical of a Republican regardless of a Republican's qualifications. They're cynical going in. And I was cynical going in with John Gruden's offer a decade is going to come back and coach against Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll. I'm cynical. So, you know, I was thinking about the Raiders. There's two ways to look at the Raiders. Here's the cynical way to look at Gruden and the Raiders. You know how we play the blind resume game for quarterbacks? Let's play the blind resume game for John Gruden. For our radio audience, we're going to consider a couple things. So John Gruden on the left has won 51% of his games. The person who is unidentified on the right has won 51% of his games. Playoff winning percentages, Gruden 55, guy on the right 50. Who is it? Anthony Lynn just got fired. All right, let's do it again. Blind resume. John Gruden against question mark. So this next coach has a better winning percentage in his career than Gruden, a better playoff winning percentage than Gruden substantially, and he also has a Super Bowl. Who's that coach? Doug Peterson just got fired. Let's keep playing the blind resume game with Gruden. Oh, this coach has a better win percentage in his career than Gruden slightly. Now, he doesn't have nearly as good as a playoff winning percentage, but he's got four division titles to Gruden's five. Who's this coach? Oh, you all think he's a goofball, Bill O'Brien. That's one way to look at Gruden. Last 9 years, no playoff wins. His resume lines up with guys we're firing. Or there's the second way to look at Gruden. And because I was cynical going into it, I have to temper my opinions because I'm probably cynical now. But here's the good, more positive spin to look at Gruden. His first year, he won 4 games. His second year, he won 7 games. And this year, he won 8. But it's not just that he won 8. He beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. He beat playoff Cleveland in Cleveland. And they beat the Saints. And if you look at their schedule, now we know this, Gruden has also built a top 10 O-line, Derek Carr's best 2 years, superstar tight end, excellent running back. In an offensive league, their offensive personnel is outstanding. Nobody can deny that. Here's the other thing. Last year, they had a much tougher schedule. This year, they face the AFC North and the NFC East, which is awful. So their home games this year, out of division, the Bengals at home and cruddy Philadelphia at home, and Washington doesn't have a quarterback at home, and the Dolphins don't love Tua at home. You start looking at that schedule, and today, if I made a prediction for the Raiders, it would be 9-7. So with politics and sometimes with football teams, if you're cynical going in, you're going to be cynical even if there is growth. The Raiders have gotten better every year. You got to give Gruden credit. They've got really good offensive personnel. They've gone 4 wins, 7-8. And this year, it's a pretty workable schedule. It really is. They get some teams that aren't great at quarterback at home. They could get Tua at home, Taylor Heinicke at home, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. I mean, let's face it, Cincinnati doesn't win a lot of huge road games. So there you go. I'm trying to be optimistic with Gruden. I think it's reasonable to think next year, and I fill in my little predictions throughout the course of the offseason, I think the Raiders are a 9-7 team. I think that's reasonable. Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned, serving premium coffee to people who love America. Purchase at blackriflecoffee.com/herd. Please use the code HERD at checkout for 20% off your first coffee club order. I drink single serve. They also have that cold espresso drink. It's fantastic. Hour 2 with Alex. Chris Broussard around the corner. We're drafting the All-Star game next.